right now.
For president of the United States to lead our great American comeback. Look, we know our country's going in the wrong direction. We see it with our eyes and we feel it in our bones. Our southern borders collapse. Drugs are pouring into the country. Our cities are being hollowed out by spiking crime. The federal government's making it harder for the average family to make ends meet and to attain and maintain a middle-class lifestyle. And our president, well, he lacks vigor, flounders in the face of our nation's challenges, and he takes his cues from the woke mob. I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization.
There you go. That's the announcement. That was the in-person. He previewed that with a bit of a video on Twitter prior to the interview with Elon Musk. It's kind of interesting. The headlines about the Ron DeSantis announcement are fixated on the fact that he broke Twitter. But the way they're fixated on it is Ron DeSantis' disastrous rollout of his campaign, you know, and technical issues. And of course, former President Trump sent out an email yesterday that merely was all the headlines from all of the news outlets about how the Twitter launch was broken and, you know, the technology didn't work. Well, that is one way to look at it. Yeah, certainly that's one way to look at it. Let me give you another way to look at it. So many people wanted to watch the announcement that they broke Twitter. I mean, the reason it got broken is because it was on Elon Musk's account where he's got, what, 100 million followers? And so you had 500,000 people in the room, if you want to think of it that way, trying to watch. So, yeah, President Trump, you could focus a lot on how there was a bunch of technical problems launching the Twitter interview with Ron DeSantis yesterday. But what you are also admitting is the one thing that I keep saying again and again, the louder you scream against Ron DeSantis, the more we know he's the one you're terrified of, rightly so. And number two, his rally was bigger than any of yours ever were. just saying. I was at the announcement, you know, in Mobile. Wasn't that big, sir. Anyway, I mean, obviously digital doesn't really count in comparison to real life. They are different. And, you know, when we actually have rallies, we'll see numbers differences. And I wouldn't expect as many people to show up to Ron DeSantis' rallies, even in Florida. I don't think so. I don't think the show is quite the same. I think that when, you know, Trump packed out like the Bay Center, for example, you know, several times, that's not a surprise. I don't know that Trump will pack out the Bay Center. I think he'll do better than barely filling the 300-person room in the sidelines of the Bay Center the way Jeb Bush did. But, you know, I don't know what we'll see in terms of real life. But again, the story is the technical problems. But the understory is because there were so many people that wanted to watch this, right? Now, I have the luxury a lot of times. I don't watch things live. I come back later. So my experience of watching the sort of roaming casual interview, I would call it. It wasn't like a hard-hitting, you know, what do you say to this, you know, Mr. DeSantis? It wasn't like a Sunday morning show or anything like that. It was just a chance to ask him questions and then get a bunch of other people in and basically have a one-hour dialogue with the governor and have him explain, you know, where he's coming from and what he's trying to accomplish and what he wants to say to the people.
In Florida, we proved it could be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance.
Yeah, especially during COVID. But obviously, you know, the idea that you can run a state this way and be super successful and have more people wanting to move here than want to move anywhere else in the country over the last several years, you know, that's kind of a big deal.
And we're thriving as a result. Florida's the nation's fastest growing state. We're number one in net in-migration, number one in new business formations, recently ranked number one in education. We have a 50-year low crime rate and one of the lowest tax and debt per capita in America.
Doing okay with education. As you know, it's interesting. education is one of these things where everybody around the country still thinks that Florida doesn't have a good education system. Oh, look at your numbers again. You know, check your data again. And oh, by the way, what was one of the huge factors in turning around Florida's education by comparison with other states? COVID policy. I mean, one of the things that has made us so much better than everybody else in education is we simply kept the schools open. And when I say we, I mean the governor. The governor kept the schools open. You had this one moment later on in the interview where, it was Jay Bhattacharya, who's a medical professor at Stanford. And you remember they did that kind of roundtable discussion about masking in schools with Dr. Bhattacharya and several other people. And then YouTube censored it because that was at a time when it was thought to be okay for a technological platform to decide to be the strong arm of the government and kick anybody off of its platforms that even dared to talk about contrary ideas regarding COVID. And yet it turned out that, you know, the effectiveness of masks on this particular disease, not very good in a long-term environment setting, like a school where you have hours around each other. I was an early advocate of masks. I still believe in masks as a very basic preventative, but they don't do a lot against an aerosolized, and we've talked about this many times. And that's the kind of thing that we eventually, you know, sort of realized. Does it do nothing? I don't think it does nothing. Does it do a lot in a, you know, an 8-hour setting like a school? No, it doesn't really do much, because unless you're wearing a, you know, a medically fitted N95 and, you know, it's a cloth mask against an aerosolized virus, doesn't really do much. But okay. This is YouTube decided that they were not going to air that. So Jay Bhattacharya gives the governor great credit for doing something that wasn't true in his home state of California at Stanford, where he teaches. And, you know, he said, look,
I was really impressed by his decision making in the face of an absolute firestorm of criticism. But he, you know, governor, you did the right thing when you opened the schools. And my kids in California for a year and a half didn't see the inside of a classroom, whereas Florida kids were in school. You can see it in the results, and the learning loss numbers are so much better in Florida.
It is. I've tried to say this so many times. I know it's hard to kind of wrap your brain around it if you lived here in Florida. You lived through the pandemic as seen by a Floridian, with businesses basically open except after the first very beginning phase, with, you know, very few restrictions on your behavior, with schools being open, with, you know, a permissive environment created by a governor who decided not to go down the path that Andrew Gillum would have, 33,000 votes to the bad. You know what I mean? Like, we would have been California, New York, Illinois, D.C. We would have been any of these other places under Democratic leadership, and we weren't under DeSantis. And the rest of the country, for the most part, what they heard about Florida was the death state, where there are bodies in the street from COVID. Like, it's seriously. And in those places, people were still living lockdowns in a year after it came out, a year and a half after it came out. Schools didn't reopen for like a year and a half in some places, and 2 years. I mean, it's hard to wrap your brain around if you didn't live there, but their experience of COVID was completely different from Florida's. And so they don't know the truth about Florida. They lived through. There's this kind of cognitive dissonance effect where a lot of them believe that what they endured was right, because otherwise they'd have to come to the conclusion that what they endured was invasive and illogical and unconstitutional. And nobody wants to believe that they lived through an authoritarian imposition and a violation of their rights and didn't do anything about it. Instead, the cognitive dissonance model tells you that because they lived through it and put up with it and endured it and were lied to and believed the lie and were wrong, they come to believe it was right. Because otherwise you have to say, oh my God, why didn't I work to stop this? You know, that's kind of how that works. So you're up against that too. But, you know, we're not trying to win California. DeSantis is not, or Trump, neither one is going to win California. You know, so you work in the places that really matter. Again, those swing states that are going to be the key to all of this. He says, look, Washington, D.C. completely failed during COVID.
Obviously, it's a novel virus. But I think what happened was when the data was becoming more and more apparent that the path they were on was wrong, they doubled down and wanted to do it even more. And I really believe had Florida not just kind of stood in the way, I think this country would have had rolling lockdowns for probably a two-year period. And so their impulses were authoritarian. They were not following the data. And I think the U.S. government needs to acknowledge the failures. And I think all of those agencies need to be cleaned out.
Yeah. And listen, I think you give good credit to President Trump for Operation Warp Speed, developing the vaccines. I think you give credit to Trump for beginning the process of distributing the vaccine. You give credit to DeSantis for distributing the vaccine, being smart about who gets it first, seniors versus young people, all of that. I don't personally give an awful lot of credit to Biden in this regard because, you know, he came in when basically the game was already over as far as vaccine delivery was going. I mean, he did a good job of it once it was happening. But, you know, we were kind of in that. He says he inherited chaos and he made it right. I don't think that's the true story. But regardless, the point about lockdowns is accurate. The point about impositions and violations of rights and mandates and mask requirements and all of that stuff. Yeah, these are massive differences in how we approach this problem. And DeSantis did it right. And the rest of the country, most of the time, and especially the president, did it wrong. 437-1620. Now, what's kind of I give you a preview because we're going to talk about this, you know, this morning throughout the show. One thing that's going to be interesting, I noticed this yesterday, is because Florida and DeSantis have been lied about so much in the national media, the perception of Florida and DeSantis, even among well-educated people, it's amazing, is they are completely wrong. They really believe that it's like illegal to teach slavery in Florida schools. Like I'm saying educated people who pay attention to the news really believe that about Florida. And so the thing is that when he gets into these interviews with folks, and if yesterday has any indication, he's going to get into an interview, somebody's going to, why did you ban the teaching of, you know, black history? He's going to be like, well, you know, interesting thing about that is the bill that bans critical race theory actually requires the teaching of black history, slavery, Jim Crow laws, and all of that. And he's such a calm respondent to these questions that whether it's that or whether it's LGBT stuff or whether it's Disney or school books in the classroom, his sort of calm, rational, well, here's why demeanor is going to be such a surprise to people who have built up in their minds that he's like the Florida boogeyman, that he's an insane warlord accumulating power and oppressing people all day long, that they've made him out to be such a demon that just him responding in the questions, in the interviews, and in the debates, I think it actually is going to work to his favor. You know, it's kind of like you portray somebody as a complete moron and an imbecile, and they get up there and they're just giving eloquent speeches. You're like, huh. You know, when expectations have been so lowered that all you have to do is violate the expectations, and that will be stunning. So we'll see how that'll play out as we go through the process of the, you know, picking whoever's going to be the nominee. But I will say this again, as much as, you know, you might get excited about this, and as much as if you're a DeSantis supporter, yesterday was a good day for you. Here's the thing. In the current structure of the presidential primary system, DeSantis loses because the not Trump vote will be split up among a variety of contenders. Unless we basically get to Iowa and New Hampshire and everybody else drops out, I think there's a very low percentage chance that DeSantis wins. Or if Trump drops out for whatever reason, which is hard to imagine. The way the system is structured, I think it's a very low chance. Things can change. It's early. Who knows? I'm just, you know, be realistic about your expectations. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines, such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech, a professional air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Captain, maybe we ought to turn on the searchlights now.
Oh. That's just what they'll be expecting us to do.
I listened to more Tina Turner songs in the last day in terms of like variety of Tina Turner songs than I've probably ever listened to in my life. And oh my God, some of the stuff, like, you know, when you can redo a cover of Beatles classic and you're like, oh yeah. So, of course, terrible news yesterday. We lost Tina Turner. Man, you know, and yet, of course, at 83, right, you know, that's a pretty full life. And talk about a story, right? Just the, like what she put up with Ike, and then being, you know, very public about what she had to put up with Ike. She was one of the, I think, one of the first women to really, you know, publicly say, look, I was a victim, you know, and you don't have to be. Which is an incredibly important message historically. 5:28, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, it appears that progress may be being made in negotiations between the White House and Republicans on the bill to raise the debt ceiling. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy telling reporters yesterday he believes an agreement will be made ahead of the June deadline to avoid default. The company that owns Facebook, slashing business teams in its final round of layoffs, Meta Platforms Incorporated yesterday said that they've carried out their last batch of layoffs this year as part of their plan to eliminate 10,000 jobs. This year. More to come, but not till next year.
We are definitely done laying people off this month. Okay,
that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
No more fears until June. Don't worry. snake hunters have a chance to earn thousands of dollars and help Florida's ecosystem. The registration is now open for the Florida Python Challenge. Over $30,000 in prizes available to anybody who wants to go hunt pythons in the Everglades.
There's 100,000 of these things in the state. It's 100,000 of them. And we're hoping we can kill a couple thousand. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how many. And they're hard to find is the problem, I guess. I, I'm, I don't know anything. I just know what, you know, like the governor said about this and what FWC has put out. But every year we try to find them and get rid of them. And, you know, I know for one thing is this, it will not be me. I will not be the one out there looking for.
No morning remote team.
No. Tromping through the, you know.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
The marshlands and trying to find the python. I'd be the guy that'd be like, uh-oh, think I found one. Like wrapped around my leg, you know.
You know what? Grinnell Scott will lead us.
No, okay. Well, so everything is safe.
He's Grinnell Scott.
Back to you, David. What do you have coming up, sir?
Well, we've got some local reaction to Ron DeSantis' announcement right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he'll lead America's comeback as president, announcing his run for the Republican nomination in a live chat on Twitter. There were technical glitches, a late start, and audio cutting in and out that the campaign and Twitter blame on heavy traffic overwhelming server capacity. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he sees improvement in negotiations over raising the nation's debt limit to avoid default. Members of Congress, now on recess, are told to be ready to return to the Capitol for votes on 24 hours' notice. The head of the Russian private military contractor Wagner claims his forces have started pulling out of Bakhmut in eastern Ukraine and handing over control to the Russian military. Many residents of Guam are without power and utilities after Typhoon Mawar tore through the Pacific Territory, ripping roofs off homes, slipping vehicles, shredding trees. No immediate reports of death or injuries. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 68 degrees this morning. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola. And some local reaction this morning to Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential run announcements.
I think it'll be a common sense campaign. What has worked for America for the last 200 years will be his mantra.
That is State Senator Doug Broxson. He talked with Channel 3. Florida Democrats have been less supportive of the governor's announcement, saying his policies have been divisive for the state. Of course, Governor DeSantis announcing last night that he will be running for president. More than 500,000 people tried to watch that announcement on Twitter and temporarily crashed the live feed. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says, to date, over 200 people have enrolled in their SAFE program, and there have been 5 calls for service for an individual enrolled. The program launched last March. Now every deputy's vehicle is equipped with a SAFE program pack. The bags contain items like headphones, sunglasses, fidget spinners, and nonverbal communication cards.
And this way, if they interact with somebody who is not going to respond like they would typically, a typical person would respond, this way they have resources available to help them keep them safe and the person with a disability safe.
Representatives with Emerald Coast Exceptional Families say the items would be used in emergencies involving special needs individuals and can keep a situation from escalating. SpaceX has another launch delay. The company announcing last night that their scheduled launch will take place tomorrow instead. SpaceX says this delay will give them more time for pre-launch checkouts and also for weather conditions to improve a little bit. If it all goes according to plan, a Falcon 9 will be blasting off from Cape Canaveral on Friday night. The launch has a 2-hour window, and the rocket will carry communication satellites for Arabsat. Florida's education commissioner says he wants parents, teachers, and school administrators to all know there's more than enough social studies textbooks available for students in the upcoming school year. Of more than 100 books that have been submitted by publishers, about 65% of them have been approved by the state.
We really got down to the granular level of trying to make sure that these things were accurate and apt for our students to have in their textbooks, taking into consideration state board rules, state law, and also our standards.
Education Commissioner Manny Diaz says books haven't always been rejected because of ideological issues. He says a lot of them were because they didn't meet educational standards. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Beautiful sunny weather for today. We're going to have the sunshine continue as you end the work week. Temperatures today near the mid-80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. Sunshine continues Friday, 84 degrees for your high. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. We're going to keep the sunshine around for Saturday and Sunday, your Memorial Day weekend, with temperatures topping out in the low to mid-80s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 68. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 66 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Five 38 near on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Mornings. Happy Thursday. Good to have you with us. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Good to have you. So let's start with this, the skate park plan. You know, I've talked about this many times. By the way, I really appreciate it, and I said so on the air a few minutes ago, that I like what you said yesterday, that you have a plan you're working on, but you don't want to announce it and implement it unless you're ready to enforce it. Bravo, sir. Spoken like a good parent, right? You know, but it sounds like you like the 10 p.m. time frame.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, kind of a fool me once scenario. What's the use of continuing to make rules, which really finds us where we are now, you know, with to make rules that we can't enforce. And so, as you can imagine, very spirited critiques of whatever plan we put forward, one way or the other. You know, it's either open too late, it's not open late enough, why not let it be 24 hours? Why not, you know, just, it's already working fine. Well, yeah, we've got liability issues. We've got other things as well. So this is a pretty complex one and probably a good lesson in exactly why we need to do what you just said, which is when we have rules and, you know, if we're going to put rules up, we got to make sure that we've got the infrastructure to enforce whatever they are. So I don't want to make that mistake again, you know, that we're going to get that. You know, if we say we're going to close at 10, the lights go off at 10:15. Do we have, you know, an off-duty there for a little bit of time at 10 o'clock? You know, we've got to figure out all of that stuff. So I kind of wanted to indicate where we were going, but you know, still more to come, you know, on making sure that we can get it done.
Very good. And I know you've talked several times about the idea of some kind of a private operator who would be able to work with maybe lessons or events or something else there. It sounds more now like you're talking about, you know, some kind of a security guard or something like that, or a patrol officer or something like that in the after hours. Nobody's proposing putting a fence around it, even though it's very common to have these areas fenced off around the country at other skate parks, right?
Yeah, and look, same thing. That's what makes this I try to keep all of this in context and realize that the reason we're talking about these things and that every nuance change affects people in one way or the other is because we have such demand. So
right.
I try to not lose sight and lose
good
perspective
problems.
That it is a good thing. Yeah, a lot of people care about this park and use it as opposed to no one using it, you know. So, you know, at the end of the day, we want to we want to do what's best for everybody, certainly enhance that park the way that we can, secure it the way that we can, and let everybody enjoy it, you know. So, same thing. More to come on the long term of operation. And even in that time, during that process of potentially doing that, we're going to learn a lot more, you know, about usage and everything as well.
You know, you made a comment yesterday in your press conference. You were talking about, and this is, again, something you and I have talked about quite a bit, is looking at the city as a business and therefore understanding that, hey, it's great to have 90-plus parks. It's not great to have to maintain 90-plus parks. you know, so everything that we love having, whether it's the Memorial to the Missing Children downtown or whatever, requires upkeep and really getting a grip on what is that cost of upkeep, including everything from the Malcolm Young Gym and just, you know, across the board. That said, I have seen something that my wife and I were in Destin last weekend, and we came across something that I had not seen before, but I absolutely love. They have the Destin Elementary School is co-located with an athletic field park that is open to the public, and the sign specifically says whenever kids aren't in attendance at the school. And I have always thought that there's a massive amount of public amenity available in school playgrounds that we used to play at as kids until they decided to put fences up around all of them and then lock us out when the kids aren't in school. Is there anything, maybe just to kind of put it on your radar as an idea, that we can talk with the school board and at least in the city, maybe, if not in the county, get access to public school, you know, parks and activity spaces for the public as an alternative or a supplement to, because we spend like $300,000 on a play structure. They've already got them, you know, that kind of thing. That's where my head's at. What do you think about that as a possibility?
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, you know, obviously we'd have to dig in there, but, you know, certainly that makes a lot of synergistic sense. No question about that. You know, now I would venture to guess the coverage and acreage of parks that we have within our 39 square miles. I could see Destin having a much greater need, you know, for that synergy than we do. Not that we should be against it, but between 94 parks and 72 playgrounds, to your point. But that's something I've talked about since I was campaigning is, you know, the average city our size has 17 playgrounds. We have 72.
Yeah.
And what that means is we're replacing 8 or 9 of these, you know, are in process every year at a large number. So we're trying to even get, you know, smarter about maybe we don't have to do the $300,000 item. Maybe we can do a cool $50,000 item,
right?
And start to give these individual parks some personality. So I would say, like you, it would have to be intentional because I don't know that the need for the acreage isn't there. Probably the way that it is in Destin. But
I'm thinking less so in terms of acreage because for the city, like you say, we already have a massive amount. It's more for things like,
right.
You know, they have tennis courts and tennis courts can be scarce,
right.
You know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Certainly would take that partnership with the school district. But it sounds like, you know, one of those things that if everyone was amicable to doing it, it would certainly make sense.
Great. And I'm going to talk about this with the county, too. It just seems like, I mean, seriously, like for years, I have wanted this to be the case. And when I discovered, I just kind of assumed that there was some kind of legal requirement or something that made it hard to do. And when I find in Destin, they're doing it, I'm like, oh, well, if it can be done, let's start talking about this. On Monday, you had the agenda review for the city council meeting. Tomorrow, a lot of items related to the airport on there. Of course, the airport making a lot of news recently. And you had a good presentation by Matt Coughlin, the airport director, about the electrical issues at the airport. Growth is good. The problem is we have too many people want to use it. And even when, you know, we were down for the evenings, you know, we still only had 7 flights canceled. That's a good note about that. My question about the electrical stuff is, was anybody disciplined or suspended over the electrical fire / handling of this incident?
The last update I had from a couple days ago, someone was put on leave. I can't speak to, we typically don't speak to, employment things that, disciplinary issues. So I can't tell you whether it was directly affected by this. That would be a question for Matt. But
okay.
All I can tell you is I can confirm to you that someone had been put on leave. Now, okay. Whether that's tied specifically to this issue or something completely different, I just don't know the answer to that.
Well, and that's fair. And, I'll ask Matt, but I thought I'd start with you. But the other kind of the corollary to that is I think some people read this story and thought, well, okay, if it was a lightning strike, we can sort of understand why that might be. But Matt seemed to indicate they weren't sure the cause. And, of course, you start to wonder, well, was it deferred maintenance? Was there some kind of an inspection scenario that didn't get set? Those kinds of questions, given the significance of the electrical system running the lights for the airport. That's kind of where my head was at.
Yeah. Well, what I can speak to, I can't speak to the staffing situation, but what I can speak to is that, your information is correct, that we do not have the guaranteed answer yet on. I mean, it's going to take some investigation for us to figure out exactly what the cause was, whether it was a lightning strike, which again, as you may have seen, it was something that happened in recent days, that we had taken some other little damage even to concrete out there because of some lightning strikes. So that's certainly possible. There's other scenarios possible. So at this point, we don't have a clear answer that we can get behind at this point of exactly what the cause was.
How close are we to having an official announcement about the street sweepers, sir?
Yeah.
We're very close. I would just say I've
close like 7:49 on a Wednesday close?
What I'd say is, if I still have any remnants of a marketer in me, I have been looking at some potential renderings.
All right. So this is a but you're not telling until you can show and tell and not just tell. Is that right?
I'll say it's not wrong.
All right. Fair enough. I'll take it. I'll allow you your moment. That's fine. No big deal. And also got another good news note is we're opening up the marina at Community Maritime Park. What, tomorrow, right?
That's right. Yeah. So the marina will be open. Your boat can park there first thing 6 a.m. tomorrow, but the ribbon cutting event will be at 3:00. So very, very excited about that. And it opens up our waterfront. We talk about wanting increased access and to activate our waterfront. This is a really big step in that direction.
Yeah. And I like the idea that it's going to be kept open late, like for Wahoo's games or whatever. Can't be overnight because of the Army Corps and the permitting. So appreciate all of that. That's all good news. Last one, just a quick note, because I haven't asked you in a while, but we still like the Wayside Park, the Pensacola side of Wayside Park, mm-hmm. where you've got the Welcome Center, Visitor Center. As I keep getting told, we just keep waiting on FEMA. Are we still, is that where we're at?
Yeah, that is where we're at. We've started to, obviously time, we were starting to talk about 3 years of time. We're starting to look at all of what our options are going to be moving forward. We can't. We've had conversations about this recently. We can't wait around forever and hope on, $1.5 billion reimbursement-ish. We've got to start working on this being something that we take on our own. Is this something that had Skanska involved in it potentially? That's something we're looking at. I know we've had a meeting with them just about Wayside Park and their use of it during the 3-month bridge construction. So, it's a complex one to say the least. But just rest assured, we are not just going to wait years and years and years of time and do nothing there, we're going to reach some point of no return where we're going to just have to start, you know, making the improvements that the citizens would expect. So, so we're trying to kind of play both of those right now and figure out what the right one is for the city.
And for people who might not know, it's like the whole problem with FEMA reimbursed funding is you have to, they have to give it. You can't just like start and do repairs and then to come along later. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We always like to end with a lightning round. So first question for you in the lightning round, how do you cut a watermelon?
In half first. And then halves again, and then I would say the half moon slices. That's the way I do it.
So basically half, probably into eight sections, and then into actual slice. Or do you do half? You said half moons. Okay, that's a little bit bigger. I gotcha.
Yeah, I just need to invent the thing where when you cut a watermelon, everything juice didn't go everywhere. I don't know, there's got to be some kind
that's
of compression.
That's always the problem. That's right. When bicycling, do you wear a bike helmet?
Ooh, I'm supposed to say yes to this. I would say it really does depend on where I'm going. Most of mine is like neighborhood. So, kids, if you're listening, definitely wear your helmet. But I mean, every now and then, if I'm just going around the block.
When you wear it, do you still look good in it?
No. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Nobody looks good in a bike helmet. That's just true. And I will say I don't wear one either. We bike all the time, and I don't wear one. But, you know, anyway. And then the last one is if you had to save the only movies you're ever allowed to watch for the rest of your life are movies featuring a particular actor or actress, whose sort of, you know, filmography do you save and watch again and again and again?
I don't get to watch as many movies anymore. Maybe this is harkening back an old time, but all Will Ferrell movies. Pretty hard to go wrong.
All right. You know, respect for the comedy library. I got you.
Hey, did we just become best friends?
Yes, absolutely.
Deep, rich mahogany, leather seats. I have many books.
Help you run for president.
Yeah, and I could talk like that in City Hall. I'm sure it would go over well.
That's exactly right. DC Reeves, Anchorman, as long as you wear the mustache. DC, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Most definitely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Talk about Christina Leavenworth all the time and how good she is at selling homes. Over 230 homes sold last year, on pace to beat that this year, every year, more and more and more. It's amazing for somebody who's only been doing this like 6 years. It's crazy. But, you know, on the selling side, she's fantastic, right? She gets homes sold even now, even in today's environment. Like a couple years ago, you know, always like same day, one day turnaround, homes above list, right? All the time, right? Now, common, okay, sell it in a day or two, sell it above list price. Doesn't happen all the time, but still getting you more money than, you know, you would kind of without her. But I often neglect to talk about her as a seller's agent, as a buyer's agent, okay? Because if you are buying a home, and especially if you're buying for the first time, like that first time home buyer experience, you know, we had a realtor and we bought a home. And, you know, she was fine, but I really, like, if I could go back in time and have had, you know, first time help from somebody who's as knowledgeable and capable and attentive and kind, honestly, as Christina Leavenworth, man, that would have been so useful. Because not just in terms of, like, she knows how the sellers think and she knows how to make the right offer once you pick a home, but she'll help you find the right one and be able to say, you know, that home's got this issue or this home's got that advantage, that home's overpriced, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. She's fabulous at that, absolutely fabulous at that. So when you want help getting into that home for the first time, especially, you know, if you rent right now, whether you rent a home or rent an apartment, call her. She will help. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Got a junk car lying around. Call the best junk man in this town. Frank buys junk cars. Frank buys junk cars. Got a car that's killing your grass? We'll call the junk car king for some quick cash.
Frank Buys Junk Cars.
850-525-2035. Frank Buys Junk Cars.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love. So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Beret Jewelers.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep and worrying about the way things might have been. Big wheel keep on turning, turning, brown, never keep on turning.
I feel like I ought to have tassels on my shorts. You'd have to see Candy is super doing the dance up in here. You gonna be okay, Candy? It's kind of an aerobic exercise to pretend to be Tina Turner, isn't it? Oh, man.
If I die, don't say it. No.
Don't say it on the air. Just kind of pretend it didn't happen. Oh, man. So I will tell you, you know, it's interesting. As a kid, I was born in 71, okay? So I didn't really grow up on Tina Turner. I grew up on Tina Turner of the 80s, you know? And so when I go back and listen to the stuff that she did back when she was with Ike and in the early days, I'm like, man, that is some great music. And some of the, like, this is a cover, right? Problem Area is a cover, right? It's a cover of CCR. And, but you don't think of it that way because you think of it as her song, but you know, right. And she's got some others. I'll play them throughout the morning, but yeah, of course she passed away yesterday, the age of 83, icon lost, but man, again, like I always say, I will never stop saying it. We grieve and mourn. And when people pass that are like this, because they made our lives richer, they made our lives better. They gave us something that nobody else did. And man, she was certainly in that category. 557 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden marking the one-year anniversary of the Uvalde school shooting. He made remarks from the White House yesterday and again asked Congress to pass an assault weapons ban and universal background checks. More Americans apparently are forgoing health care services at higher rates. A survey from the Federal Reserve showing that 28% of respondents went without some form of medical care last year because it was too expensive. That number climbed by 4% year over year. And, of course, you've been talking about Tina Turner all morning. Well, tributes have been rolling in for her. Angela Bassett, who was nominated for an Academy Award for her portrayal of Turner and What's Love Got to Do with It, tweeting that Turner was simply the best. Motown legend Diana Ross said she was shocked and saddened. And Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger called her truly an enormously talented performer and singer.
Absolutely.
And she taught him how to dance.
Yeah.
They
right.
did. Yeah, they went on tour together. And he was like, how do you move like that? And she showed him. Yeah.
All right.
Isn't that neat?
437-1620. 437-1620. I was listening to some of her earlier music, just, you know, getting even myself more acquainted with some of her stuff. And what did I tell you in the bottom of the hour when I was listening to some stuff? Reminds me of Janis Joplin, some of the stuff that Ike put on, you know, because what
sure.
he contributed in terms mm-hmm. of the guitar is just, it's a great setup for her, a great format, a great pedestal on which she could stand, you know. And I mean, it really was. It's fantastic. And obviously, super awful and sad about, you know, what happened with them privately. Five, and I mean, awful, you know, genuinely awful, unfortunately, because what did you say is that people, you know, he was a musical genius.
Right. And of course, that was overshadowed by him being a.
Right. Being an abuser.
Abusive.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, we did get news yesterday. Twitch, you know, the dancer, mm-hmm. Ellen's, and also from So You Think You Can Dance,
right.
Did not have drugs or alcohol in his system when he took his life. So, to whatever degree that had been an open question for you, now we know from the autopsy.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade, weekdays 11 to 1.